David.
Thank
okay.
you.
Yeah, thank you very much for joining us. And you've been listening to The Human Side of the 100 Chamber Radio, and we've been very lucky to have Dan Green with us, and Karen Iske, and Sharon Skibbe. And we hope that you've learned something. I know I have. So, everyone, I hope you have a great day. Enjoy the rest of the beautiful day for today, and try to stay dry over the next 4 days. Take care.
USA Radio News.
The FBI acknowledged that some protocols were not followed after they obtained a tip in January that shooting suspect Nicholas Cruz had a potential of conducting a school shooting. Meanwhile, a former classmate of Cruz is coming out speaking about some of the things he did in his past school years.
I used to always hear stories about him throwing rocks through windows, pulling the fire alarm for fun. No one was really too close to him because it was always assumed that if this were to happen, it'd be him. Someone having the ability to instill that much terror in the people I love hurts.
The FBI said the caller had provided them with information about Cruz's gun ownership, desire to kill people, erratic behavior, and disturbing social media posts in January. Former Republican presidential nominee Mitt Romney announced today that he will be running for a U.S. Senate seat being left vacant by retiring GOP Senator Orrin Hatch. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn-Root. I was one of the biggest critics of Obama in the national media. Suddenly, I was under massive IRS attack. So I hired Sam Landis. Sam did an amazing job. We won twice. I didn't owe a penny. Thank you, Sam Landis. Many of you have IRS problems, and you've spent thousands with non-lawyer tax resolution firms. Do yourself a favor. Call Sam Landis for a free consultation. Trust me, Sam Landis is the best. Sam saved my life. Call Sam at 800-WE-HELP-YOU with the letter U. That's toll-free, 800-WE-HELP-YOU with the letter U. 800-WE-HELP-YOU.
Howdy, folks. Colonel Sanders here to tell you about KFC's $10 chicken shares. They're perfect to share with those special people in your life. Choose from 6 pieces of my Kentucky Fried Chicken, 9 extra crispy tenders, 12 hot wings, or a bunch of popcorn nuggets. So grab your buddy, your cousin, your dad, your college roommate, or my friend Joan, and head to KFC. Are you there yet? Okay, good. Now get to sharing and eating. KFC's $10 chicken shares. It's finger-licking good.
At participating KFCs only. Hot wings not available at all locations. Prices may vary. Tax and substitutions extra.
The fate of a bipartisan immigration bill hangs in the balance as yesterday the Senate rejected 4 different immigration bills. But where do we go from here? Congressman Tom Reed says it's all about compromise.
If this is going to be addressed, I think you're going to have kind of a middle ground type of bipartisan agreement. Now, I'm not very optimistic as to what I hear out of the Senate and anything coming out of the Senate, so therefore that doesn't bode well for the future of solving this.
The congressman from New York then continues by talking about the 2 main issues that need to be solved here.
Taking care of the kids that are part of that dreamer population, I think that we can solve that and allow them to have the American opportunity, American dream. But we also have to secure the border. And if you limit it to those 2 items alone, I think there is a solution that can be forged together here.
The Justice Department today announced indictments on 13 Russian nationals and a trio of Russian entities on charges related to the Kremlin's effort to interfere in the 2016 presidential election. This is USA Radio News.
In theaters now, from PureFlix.
Samson, chosen by the living God.
A hero will rise.
He has the strength of a god. I saw it with my own eyes.
My name is Samson, and you will face the wrath of God.
Samson, rated PG-13, may be inappropriate for children under 13. Now playing. For tickets and information, go to samson.movie.
And with a look at things going on around the world, here is USA Radio Network's UN correspondent, Luke Vargas.
An economic assessment by Smith College professor Andrew Zimbalist finds South Korea spent roughly $13 billion to host the ongoing Winter Olympics, but will generate less than $3 billion in short-term revenue. South Korea's government optimistically says hosting the Games will draw in at least $18 billion in revenue in the coming years. But Zimbalist is skeptical, saying meager ticket sales show the challenge of turning Pyeongchang into a popular international resort town. Reuters reports up to 100 Russian mercenaries may have been killed in eastern Syria last week after the U.S. responded with force to an assault on allied Kurdish fighters. In a pattern seen in eastern Ukraine, Russian mercenaries are said to be taking on an increased role across Syria. By relying on contractors instead of uniformed personnel, Russia's government is not required to report on death tolls or injuries. And Germany's foreign minister is asking the U.S. to step up its participation in transatlantic security by doing more than funding its military. The complaint that certain German allies have rolled back spending on diplomacy in the U.N. comes days after President Trump's proposed budget spelled out steep cuts at the State Department, U.N., and USAID. But Ursula von der Leyen did propose a compromise, saying Germany would increase its military spending and push others in Europe to do so if the U.S. remained diplomatically engaged. We'll see if that message reaches Washington.
For USA Radio News, my name is Tim Berg.
Welcome to Destination Hockey on the Hunterdon County Chamber Radio. Today we've got a great episode in store. We're going to do a trade deadline special, but first we have the weather. Today it's a very warm day. We have a chance of rain this afternoon after 5 p.m., but right now it's mostly sunny with a high of 72. Tomorrow it's going to rain, and it will be back down to 41 degrees, which is very unfortunate after today's beautiful day. And then for the weekend, we have rain likely again, but it will be back up to 56 degrees. So that's your weather, and we will be right back with our trade deadline special.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Welcome to Destination Hockey on the Hunterdon Chamber Radio, the voice of business. Today we have a very special episode in store. We've got our trade deadline special. The trade deadline is one of the best events in hockey, even though we don't even see any play on the ice. It really is one of the most fascinating times of the year. It's one of my favorites, and I'm excited to talk about it for the most majority of this show. But first, we have to talk about, for our Islanders fans listening, the snow must go dilemma, the drama that has encompassed the entire Islanders fan base, and it's really something I've never seen before. Andy Graziano, the SNY, he's an SNY Islanders writer, was supposed to come on today. Unfortunately, he was on a trip and was not able to make it, but I really wanted to talk about this with him, so I'm going to touch on it because it is probably, in my time watching the Islanders, in my time covering the Islanders, it's probably the most interesting storyline, the most interesting headline I've ever seen. Basically, Garth Snow has been the general manager of the New York Islanders for a solid 12 seasons now, and the fan base is not happy with him. He has been called a dictator. He's been called a tyrant. He's been called terrible things, and now fans are calling for his job. They are starting a GoFundMe page that has already raised $6,000, which will go towards two billboards, which will call for his firing. They will be right next to Barclays Center, the home of the New York Islanders. And it's craziness. It's chaos, and it's something that most fan bases don't go through. The New York Jets had a similar event when they were calling for the firing of their GM, and they put up a billboard, and it worked. They flew airplanes over practices, and it was a big distraction for the team. The team didn't play well when it was going on, and right now the Islanders are having a similar effect where it's a big distraction for the team. John Tavares, a free agent this season, is someone who doesn't like distraction, doesn't like drama, and he's a big Garth Snow fan. He's a big Doug Waite fan, and he must not like all this drama going on. He's getting asked questions about it. Yesterday was the Meet the Team event for season ticket holders, and I had friends who were there. They said he was constantly asked, should Garth Snow be fired by kids, you know, who think they're being funny? But John Tavares is a very serious person. He's a very stern face. He doesn't smile a lot. And deep down, he must hate getting asked these questions when he just wants to take pictures with fans and sign autographs. It's a really complicated situation, and it's affecting John Tavares. It's affecting the team. Let's just go into the backstory a little bit of this situation, and then I'm just going to give a final take on it. But it all started in 2005-2006 season when Mike Milbury resigned as general manager of the New York Islanders, and Neil Smith was hired to replace him. Neil Smith was the architect of the Rangers' 1994 Cup roster, and Islanders fans were really rejoiced. They were happy that even though this guy, Neil Smith, was coming from the Rangers, he was a proven general manager. He was someone that Mike Milbury wasn't. He was trustworthy. He had big plans. He comes in, he drafts Kyle Loposo, he makes some solid moves, and fans are finally happy. But then that happiness was short-lived. At a press conference for the Bridgeport Sound Tigers' new coach, he apparently did not agree with the hiring, and was very distraught over it. You can see in the press conference there are images of him not smiling. He's very angry. And what happened was he was had no say over these positions being filled in the Islanders organization. Even though he was the general manager, he had no say over what was going on in his, on his team, on the New York Islanders. And basically that led to his firing. He was fired very quickly, 41 days, in fact, after he was hired. And in the craziest storyline of all of sports, in my opinion, in all of sports during this time, was Garth Snow, the Islanders' backup goaltender at the time, immediately retired and took over as general manager, given a long-term contract with no prior managerial experience. This man was a backup goaltender. And he was given control of the entire Islanders team, Islanders roster, Islanders farm system, managerial positions, everything. What was the thinking behind that? That's just a crazy thing to even imagine. But let alone if you compare it to today's world, Thomas Greiss, who's the Islanders' current backup goaltender, you think about he's a good player, I guess. You know, he has some struggles, but if you could just hand him over the team. You know, because he's struggling and he's the new general manager. Never happens in today's world. You never see it. You don't even see players like Derek Jeter, like these really respected players getting positions right out of the gate. They have to work for it. They have to wait a little bit. Then Garth Snow, he's been on the team for a long time. He's brought them to the playoffs a few times. He's fans aren't happy with him, but I guess you could say he was doing a sufficient job. Then he's given a contract extension, like most general managers are, after time, and this is where things get really, really unusual. Garth Snow, as we know, is the general manager. He's under contract for a certain amount of time, and he's paid for his job. But as fans, that's all we know about Garth Snow. You know, I wrote in an article for a website, Fanside at Eyes on Isles, that this seems like it's right out of 1984, right out of Robert Orwell's, hit novel. But we really have never seen this before, where a general manager in today's world with technology, with even the First Amendment, freedom of speech, everything's written. We know everything about these players, their contracts. We know too much most of the time. We don't know anything about Garth Snow's contract. Apparently, according to ex-Islanders beat writer Arthur Staple, Charles Wong, the ex-owner, gave as a parting gift to Garth Snow when he gave up control of the team to Scott Malkin and John Ledecky, gave Garth Snow, and this is the quote, a contract of at least 5 years. Speculation has, ensued, and people are saying that this contract could be worth over $5 million per year, which would be the most for an NHL GM. It's a really unusual thing. It's something that you don't see, and we don't know when Garth Snow is going to get fired because John Ledecky and Scott Malkin, sure, they're very rich. They're, businessmen. They have really succeeded in their fields, but are they going to want to pick up the cost for a general manager who is making no one knows what for how – no one even knows how long. It's going to be a big financial burden for them to fire him. And then you look at what's going on now. The Islanders are not making any moves at the trade deadline yet. Garth Snow, his job has been called for by the fan base. Billboards are raised, and John Tavares has been quoted saying, this year's trade deadline will matter when I'm making my decision. And Garth Snow has done nothing. Garth Snow has not made a trade. Garth Snow has not gotten that much-needed defenseman. And he has not given the Islanders much-needed reinforcements when it comes to their playoff push. John Tavares isn't happy. The fan base isn't happy. Doug Wade isn't happy. He's half the time sarcastic, half the time flabbergasted at his team post-game press conferences. And it's not a fun sight to witness. Islanders fans, Islanders players are not in a good place right now, and it's because of Garth Snow. Should Garth Snow be fired? Who knows? If 90% of the fan base had their say, he'd be fired at this moment at 5:14 on this Wednesday. But that won't happen. The Islanders are more realistic. They're more slow and lethargic in their approach, and they will most likely wait this out until the end of the season. If the Islanders lose John Tavares, I'm sure Garth Snow will be fired, but who knows with that financial burden that the owners will have to pick up. Who knows if Garth Snow will even be fired, given the very sketchy, I'll use that word, very weird dealings that have been taking on in the past. It doesn't seem real. It seems like it's straight out of a story. So who knows what will happen, but all I know is that right now the fan base is not happy, and it is something that I have not seen for a while. So I'm excited when Andy Graziano comes back on the show to talk about this with him, because it is certainly the story to talk about. When we come back from a short break, we're going to talk about the trade deadline it's the go-to storyline right now, with players moving already and this speculation that has already ensued with teams like Winnipeg, Dallas, San Jose, Buffalo, the Toronto Maple Leafs, and even the New York Islanders. So when we come back, we will be talking about the trade deadline, so please stay tuned.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
¿Sabía que de cada cinco personas hay una que lucha con síntomas difíciles de salud mental? NAMI es una organización estatal sin fines de lucro. Somos empleados voluntarios. Somos la voz de la nación sobre las enfermedades mentales. NAMI te ofrece grupos de apoyo, educación e información. Nuestro programa educativo de Familia a Familia está dirigido por miembros de NAMI para familiares y amigos de personas que luchan con dificultad de salud mental. Llámanos al 888-803-3413. Recuerda, no estás solo. NAMI está contigo y no hay salud sin salud mental.
This is Tony Clark, paraplanner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
Welcome back to Destination Hockey on the Hunterdon Chamber Radio, the voice of business. The trade deadline is Monday, February 26th, and it is one of the best days in all of hockey. It's one of my favorite days, as I said earlier. And teams all around the NHL will be looking to shake up their rosters, which will provide fans with some of the most entertaining hockey we will even see this whole season, and there won't even be a game played. There won't even be any action going on the ice. It's all behind the scenes. It's all general managers wheeling and dealing to really prepare themselves for the future, for a playoff push, or for next season. It's exciting, it's fantastic, and it's much-watched TV. I know I will be leaving school early on Monday because it's just, you're glued in front of your TV. I'm always on my phone on Twitter. It's a fantastic time. In the NHL, there are certain types of trades that teams will make. There are countless moves that general managers will do with other teams that will benefit both teams. Sometimes it seems like it benefits one, long-term, short-term, and here are some of them right now. You have unrestricted free agent rental trades. Those are trades that in hockey, there's contracts, obviously, just like in all of sports, where you're paid per year. And when contracts are expiring, teams that are falling out of the playoff contention will look to trade these to teams that are in playoff contentions for future assets. Some of these trades in recent memory are Kimmo Timonen to the Chicago Blackhawks, where he finally was able to win a cup, and the Philadelphia Flyers, taking advantage of conditional draft picks, got a lot more than they originally expected because the Chicago Blackhawks won the Stanley Cup that year. Conditional draft picks are a really interesting part of the trade deadline, and we saw that in a Peter Mrazek deal recently, which I'll discuss later. Then you have long-term trades, failed prospects getting moved the trade deadline is a time where everyone, no matter how good or how bad, is at risk of being traded. And failed prospects are especially people that you could really see moving to other teams. Curtis Lazar and Shane Prince, two players from the Ottawa Senators in the last two seasons, have been traded to other teams because they were not in the Ottawa Senators' long-term plans. So the Senators went out, got a second-round pick, a third-round pick, and you never know what can happen with those picks. And maybe they'll get another star that they will trade when they fail. You never know. Draft picks are very valuable in the NHL, and the Ottawa Senators realized that and traded some of their failed prospects to give themselves another chance. Then you have star players. Ryan McDonagh is a player that is rumored to be traded this year from the New York Rangers. He's the star defenseman and the captain. And John Tavares. John Tavares won't be traded, but if this was any other team, any other year, with how things are looking, and the Islanders most likely right now will not get something done during the season, they're going to really, you know, bet all their cards on John Tavares resigning the offseason. Some teams would trade. Some teams would make a trade. Oliver Ekman-Larsson, Erik Karlsson are two players that have also been rumored to be available, but it looks like they will be traded at the offseason, or they will be extended on long-term deals. And then there's depth players and star players, as I said earlier. But depth players are really interesting because they will go anywhere to anywhere from any team. You can see the first-place team in hockey trading off a depth piece just because they don't feel like he will fit in the lineup or because they find an upgrade. Depth players, which I will be focusing on in a little bit, are probably the most popular trades, and a lot of teams will be focusing on depth. To start off, you have the star rental player available this year in Rick Nash. And Rick Nash is someone that will most likely be traded. The Rangers general manager has said various times and even wrote a letter to his fans that he will most likely be trading off assets this year with the future in mind. And that's something that you don't usually see. You don't see a general manager being that clear with his fan base. You don't see Garth Snow doing that. That would be a dream. That would never happen. But the Rangers have said they are going to trade off some of their good players and get assets for the future, get young, get fast. And Rick Nash is the first player that most likely will go. And he will most likely yield the highest return if Ryan McDonagh is not traded. So Winnipeg, Dallas, San Jose, Nashville, they are all likely options. He will most likely be traded to a team in the West, given the West's need for scoring and their playoff race really heating up. And it's almost a certain that he will be dealt, so what will he go for? You don't know if, with this type of situation, last year you saw it with Radim Vrbata. He was a player that, if you asked 100 NHL analysis, 99 of them said he would have gotten traded. That's just how it works with some of these players. But unfortunately, teams knew how desperate Arizona was. They didn't offer too much, and Arizona decided to keep him just because he was a veteran leader, and they chose that. They valued that over a third-round pick, a fourth-round pick. Would Rick Nash, knowing that all these other teams are going to go after him, will the Rangers get a lot of low offers, teams trying to lowball the Rangers knowing how desperate they are, or will teams start to outbid each other? Will you see a team like Nashville swoop and offer first, and Winnipeg really want him, so they offer first in a prospect? You never know what can happen with these types of players being available, so it's going to be interesting to see what Rick Nash goes for. My prediction is he goes to Nashville. Nashville's a team that is getting Mike Fisher. They added Kyle Turris, but they need help on the wing, and they need scoring. So I predict Rick Nash goes to Nashville for a first-round pick and a prospect. Evander Kane is the next player I'd like to highlight because he is another rental. His contract is up after the season, but the Buffalo Sabres, unlike the Rangers, are really not a franchise that is regarded around the league as one that is run correctly. They are what I'd call dysfunctional, right up there with the Islanders, right up there with other teams. And they are asking a first-round pick, they want a top prospect, and an NHL-ready player for Kane. And this isn't Patrick Kane we're talking about. Maybe that would be a more fair trade, even if he had 1 year left on his contract. But this is Evander Kane, a player who has been reported for character issues, even has gotten in sexual assault allegations, and is just not that good of a player on the ice. He has 39 points, and he's a minus 14, which, sure, he's on a bad team. Sure, he could do much better on a team like Islanders, like Nashville, like Winnipeg, like I said earlier. But he is just someone that is just not that – he's not there. Sometimes you don't see a full effort out of him. And he's not better than Rick Nash, in my opinion. He's not better than some of these other players out there. So why would a team that can get, a Rick Nash for a first give up a first plus two other assets for Evander Kane, who's worse? It doesn't make sense. So the Sabres, they're really going to have to lower their value. If they want to trade him, they're not going to be able to get a first, a prospect, and an NHL player. They're going to have to trade him for maybe, if they're lucky, one of those things. I doubt they get what they're asking for. So if I'm calling it, I say Evander Kane. I say he stays put because the Sabres, you just don't know what's going on with them. Year after year, they're not in it at the deadline, yet they have these sort of weird like epiphanies, like, oh, we're gonna sign this player, oh, we're gonna contend this year, when really they need to commit to a full rebuild, which they have not done yet. So I say the Sabres again are stubborn and they lose out on some future assets. Matt Martin is someone that I have been a fan of my entire hockey life when I've been following hockey, and he's someone who's on the trade block. He's a low level forward, he's a fourth line grinder who has been scratched a lot in Toronto. He's not someone who's going to draw a lot of heads, but the New York Islanders are a team that could possibly form some sort of reunion. All three players that the Islanders let go two off seasons ago, as Arthur Staple pointed out in a tweet today, Kyle Loposo, Franz Nielsen, and Matt Martin are all available in trades, and they are all really struggling with their new teams. Maybe Garth Snow, when fans were really angry about losing those three players, maybe he was onto something. Sure, Andrew Ladd and Jason Chimera aren't good. They're really not. But maybe they're a little bit of a less financial risk than these players. So he was really onto something when he let these three players go. But Matt Martin is someone who could make a return. But there's a player who is really complicating this and I think will block this trade, and that's Ross Johnston. Ross Johnston is really emerged for the Islanders as not just a solid player, not just a depth player. He is really giving the Islanders exactly what they need. In just 10 games, he already has 3 goals and 2 assists, which is on pace. If you look at the 82-game numbers, just doing the math in my head, that's 25 goals and 16 assists over the course of a season. That is 41 points for this player who's a grinder, who's a fourth liner. And Ross Johnston is, if you can get the scoring touch from him for the Islanders, you don't need Matt Martin. You don't need Ross Johnston and Matt Martin and Kyle Clutterbuck and Casey Zekas. That's too much physicality in today's NHL. You need more speed. So Matt Martin to the New York Islanders is something that you might not see because Ross Johnston has emerged and has really been a emerging star, emerging player that you don't see anymore in the NHL, which is a physical player who can really move the puck and chip and chase and score goals. So Matt Martin will most likely not be a New York Islander. He will most likely have to stay at Toronto Maple Leaf, even though they are willing to take on contract, they are willing to eat salary, even give up assets to get rid of this player, who's a great character player, a great locker room guy. But Matt Martin is someone that you're not going to see moved, and it's unfortunate because I would have loved to see him on the New York Islanders. Another player that is a depth forward but will really, really help out a team is Mark Letestu. And as I talked about 2 weeks ago, Connor McDavid and the Edmonton Oilers are really struggling this season. It's something that you didn't expect to see out of them, and I'm really surprised we're seeing it this season given how successful their team was last year. But Mark Letestu is a player that is a third line, really good character guy, really good heart. You're going to get everything from him. He's the power play guy. He's the penalty kill guy. He's defense, offense. You can put him out in any situation. He only has 8 goals and 10 assists this year, and he's a minus player, but he's right-handed, and he's got an expiring cheap contract, and you're going to most likely see him moved at the deadline. He's one of those players, as I said, like Radim Rivada, who will most likely be moved, and the Pittsburgh Penguins are a team that I think he will go to. The Penguins need that third-line center. It's something they have really not had for a while since Nick Bonino left and Matt Cullen left, and now the Penguins are struggling. They're pushing for the playoffs, and I think they're going to try to acquire Letestu. They may even go after Matt Cullen as well, but the Penguins need to make a move because right now they're kind of in this stage of their season where they're struggling a bit. They're surging too. They're really inconsistent, and they have won the Cup 2 years in a row. They're going for 3. And you just need all the depth you can have because injuries and tired, you're going to get tired. And it's something that you don't want to see a team fall out of the playoffs because they're tired and don't have depth. So you're going to most likely see Mark Letestu moved. And I think a great option would be the Pittsburgh Penguins. So now moving on to Peter Chiarelli, who is the Edmonton Oilers GM. Will he commit to selling? I'm not really sure, but just looking at the New York Islanders, the Islanders had scouts at the Edmonton Oilers game this past week, and fans on Twitter overreacted and were saying things like, "Oh, time to steal some players from Chiarelli again. Time to really embarrass him." But I don't think Peter Chiarelli is going to do anything with the Islanders, because that's just flat out something that he has been grilled for in the past, and every trade he's done with Garceau has been bad. It's really only been his only success has been in trades with Peter Chiarelli. But one player that could be on the move is Ryan Strome, who's an expiring contract. He's going to be a free agent this offseason, and he was traded from the Islanders to the Edmonton Oilers for Jordan Eberle, who is a borderline all-star, a sensational player, and really is giving the Islanders what they need, and Ryan Strome is not giving the Oilers what they need. Would Ryan Strome be traded? I think that would make sense for the Oilers. I'm not sure what they would get for him. Maybe a third, maybe a fourth, maybe even a fifth. But I would love to see the Islanders jump right on that. Our forward depth is okay. The Islanders have decent forwards. Ross Johnson has filled in and given the Islanders a solid fourth-line player. But the third line's still not doing great. And Brock Nelson has been rumored to be a player who could be available. So if you're going to trade Brock Nelson, why not pick up Ryan Strome? The only issue with that is Strome only has 9 goals. He will be a free agent. And Peter Chiarelli most likely will not bite the bullet and, essentially looking back on it, give up Jordan Eberle for a low-round pick. It's just not going to happen. So I definitely encourage Garceau to inquire about that, try to get an expiring contract from the Edmonton Oilers, try to get Oscar Klefbom, Adam Larson. Won't happen, but they would be exactly what the Islanders need on their defense for their issues. But you never know. If I'm Garceau, I'm definitely inquiring with Peter Chiarelli and hoping you can have another successful trade like you haven't had in the past. Now moving on to another intriguing team, and that's the Colorado Avalanche, because they are a roster, they're a organization that has really been in this interesting stage where they've had success, then they had a monumental failure of a season, and now they're back to having some success, but much of this has relied on Nathan MacKinnon. And Nathan MacKinnon is a Hart Trophy favorite. He's got 25 goals and 40 assists, very importantly, in only 51 games due to injury. But do they try to get him some complimentary pieces? They already traded away Matt Duchene, which has proven to be a good deal. They got young defensemen like Girard and other great players. But if you look at their roster, it's really not one that you'd expect to be doing as well as it is. So why not try to give it some reinforcements, try to add some pieces to it as they push for the playoffs? 2 seasons ago, they added Michael Boddicker and Eric Gelinas for 2 picks, a third and a first, I believe, and that did not work. They were not the right players. Eric Gelinas wound up being a disaster in Colorado, and Boddicker didn't really help them. They were the 9 seed that year, and they didn't make the playoffs. But if I'm the GM of the Avalanche, if I'm Joe Sakic, I encourage them to do something similar. I think that the Colorado Avalanche needs some pieces that will be depth pieces. I've said that word a lot, but it's something that's really important. And I think they should give some mid-round picks up and get a forward, get a defenseman, really ensure against injuries like the one that happened to Nathan MacKinnon, and focus on rebounding, because if you make the playoffs this year, that really revitalizes this fan base that had to suffer one of the worst seasons of all time last year. And then on top of that failure, they were the number one team going into the draft lottery, and they fell to 4th. So they didn't even get one of their top picks, which would have been Nico Hischier or Nolan Patrick, who have really succeeded, whereas the pick that they got wasn't as bona fide, wasn't as successful. So the Colorado Avalanche are a team that really should be making a move. They should be looking to do something, and Joe Sakic's very cheap. He's very stingy, but I think he's going to do something this year, and I hope he looks at some players, not like a Rick Nash, not like an Evander Kane, these really top rental pieces, but some guys that will really help the bottom 6 forwards and the bottom pair defense. I also would like to take this time to congratulate Andrew Gross on being named Newsday's new Islanders beat writer. We've talked to a lot of Newsday writers on this show, and it's really been fascinating to hear firsthand the journey that Newsday has been through. Whether it's been with The Athletic taking their beat writers, where it left open the Mets, Islanders, and Giants beat writer positions, which has never happened in Newsday's history, as Neil Best said on the show last week. But it really has been interesting to watch the emergence of digital media, to watch Twitter and YouTube and these online sources really take center stage in the journalism world and put a company like Newsday really give them trouble. And now they're really struggling to find people. But Andrew Gross, someone I'd love to have on the show in the future, was just named the beat writer. He got a little hate from the Devils fan base. He just joined as the Devils beat writer and actually had to leave, after only 6 months. But he said he had family in mind, and I completely respect his decision for that. And Neil Best, who was on the show last week and said he was not the biggest fan of Islanders Twitter, finally gets some relief from the Islanders beat, and Andrew Gross will take over. So, guys, that is our trade deadline segment. We're going to be right back after the brief news segment to talk about more of the trade deadline and go over some highlights from this week. So please stay tuned, and thank you for listening to Destination Hockey on the 100 and Chamber Radio.
USA Radio News.
The FBI acknowledged that some protocols were not followed after they obtained a tip in January that shooting suspect Nicholas Cruz had a potential of conducting a school shooting. Meanwhile, a former classmate of Cruz is coming out speaking about some of the things he did in his past school years.
I used to always hear stories about him throwing rocks through windows, pulling the fire alarm for fun. No one was really too close to him because it was always assumed that if this were to happen, it'd be him. Someone having the ability to instill that much terror in the people I love hurts.
The FBI said the caller had provided them with information about Cruz's gun ownership, desire to kill people, erratic behavior, and disturbing social media posts in January. Former Republican presidential nominee Mitt Romney announced today that he will be running for a U.S. Senate seat being left vacant by retiring GOP Senator Orrin Hatch. This is USA Radio News.
So 5 months ago, the folks at MyPillow said, hey, you want to try one out? Let us know what you think. Hey, it's a pillow. But I tried it. What have you got to lose? Tell you what I lost. Interrupted sleep. It changed my life. So I'm letting you know you need MyPillow. Well, not MyPillow, but your own MyPillow. See, it stays cool all night, keeps its shape, comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee. Don't like it? Return it. And a 10-year warranty. What pillow have you got that has a 10-year warranty? You can toss a MyPillow in your washer, dryer, and it's like new again. Try doing that with your dollar store pillow and see what happens. And by the way, it's made in the USA. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the 4-pack special, enter promo code USA. You'll get 2 MyPillow premium pillows and 2 go-anywhere pillows for half off. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the 4-pack special, enter promo code USA, or call 1-800-951-8175 and use promo code USA.
This is Georgine Trinkle. I want to invite you to listen to Hot and 100 in every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m. You'll be treated to discussions on hot topics every week. Hot and 100 in provides a more in-depth look at issues that are happening right now. You can catch the show live and call in on what matters to you. Make sure to download the podcast to catch up on all our hot topics.
The New Jersey Devils, they are taking the hockey world by storm. And being from local Hunterdon County, it's great to see fans taking the trip out to Newark to watch this team because they have been a storyline in the NHL this year. They've been one of the fascinating young teams. They've really been led by Taylor Hall and Corey Schneider, who has even been injured recently. But now you're seeing the New Jersey Devils finally getting that national attention they deserve. I have a friend who's a Devils fan, and he always complains about how the Devils are never recognized. They're never given that national attention. And finally, after years since the Stanley Cup berth, they are finally back to prominence, led by a young core. This past week, they have already made really just a fantastic push towards the playoffs, but they're really continuing that and trying to get out of the wild card spot and move into the Metropolitan Division playoff bracket. But they had a tough game against the Columbus Blue Jackets, which ended a winning streak, and that was a great game out of Sergei Bobrovsky. So right now we have the highlights for you. We're going to listen into those, and after the highlights, I will be back with some analysis and some more trade deadline coverage regarding the Devils and the Blue Jackets.
For Dave Bobrovsky and the Jackets walking into another opportunity tonight. An opportunity for 2 points and an opportunity to beat this Devils team for the second time in 10 days. You don't have to tell Keith Kincaid where he was 10 days ago. He was on the short end of a 6-1 loss as the goaltender of record for the Devils. I'm sure that'll be on his mind tonight.
And Wenberg circles his own net, puts the brakes on, looks for Harrington, gets caught up at his skates, able to make the play, looking there for Werenski on the left wing, who picks it up nonetheless, fires, off the goal post, rebound, scores! Boone Jenner following up Werenski, and the Jackets take the all-important 1-0 lead.
Werenski, he's a rover. He's going to follow this play up, get the initial shot, and how about Boone Jenner? He's been all around it, and there is a Boone Jenner type goal. Goes to the net hard, has contact with the goaltender, but the goaltender's got no idea where the puck is.
Artemi Panarin on to Jenner. Jenner, Werenski moving in, fires, rebound around the net. The Jackets spun, they had the puck over top of Kincaid. But play called with a pileup at the side of the Devils' net.
Boy, Anderson could not come any closer right there. He got the opportunity on the rebound, just could not get enough on it.
Artemi looks to the right point. Savard moving in. Savard right across the goal mouth. Jackets could not convert with the net gaping wide open. Kincaid had committed to this side. Meantime, Hall fires, scores! Taylor Hall beats Bobrovsky short side.
Yeah, Taylor Hall is on fire. This fake. Pass, no. Pulls Bobrovsky off that post just enough. And then he sneaks it in there. What a smart play by the sniper. Taylor Hall, 25th goal on the season.
On in into Blue Jackets territory where Savard settles it down and quickly feeds Dubois. Rick wide. Panarin drops it there for Harrington. He shoots and scores. Artemi Panarin picks up another point. Harrington the goal all the way. Taylor Hall, one-timer by Nason. Jackets block that. That one hurt. Quick attempt. Bobrovsky the stop. Puck still loose. There's another attempt for the puck. In front. Jackets defend. The puck just left right there at the goal mouth. And the Jackets keep the Devils at bay.
Dubois just content to keep that puck on the wall.
All for Coleman. Coleman walks in, save Bobrovsky. Outstanding first stop. The puck trickled away, and he was able to recover on the rebound.
How about Coleman? Wow, inside as he pulls that puck from the outside.
Green dumps in deep. 2:45 left. Stafford off the bench. Boyle right there. Square to the shoulder. The stop. No rebound. Bobrovsky hangs on.
Boyle could have that over again. He would have picked the corner, but he didn't really have time.
Great road victory.
They found a way to win here, and that's exactly what this team needed.
There it is. The horn to win the hockey game. Jackets' third straight win against the Devils. They've now won 12 of the last 15. And Sergei Bobrovsky, who we mentioned, our number one theme tonight. He had to be their best player. And he certainly, if not the best, was close to it.
So those were your highlights from the Devils-Blue Jackets game last night. And boy, was it a really fabulous game to watch. It was interesting. It went right down to the wire. Brian Boyle almost tied it up just like he has many times this year. But it was really a telling sign for the Blue Jackets and the Devils about the courses of their season so far. The Devils to even be in a game against Sergei Bobrovsky, who has given them so much trouble, is really telling that they are a team that's the real deal. Even though they couldn't get that win, they're ahead of the Blue Jackets in the standing, and they are pushing for a playoff spot. Taylor Hall is on a 19-game point streak, which is leading the NHL right now and hasn't been done since Patrick Kane. And it's really cool to see the Devils, you know, returning to prominence in not just New Jersey but in the hockey world. And they've been doing this without Corey Schneider. Corey Schneider finally is returning from an injury soon. He's back skating with the team today, and he's been out. The goaltending tandem of Eddie Lack and Keith Kincaid, Islanders fans can complain all they want, but that's pretty brutal, has been keeping this team afloat in the standings. Sure, you have a pretty bad defense. You have a young forward core. You don't have goalies. But you have John Hines, a terrific coach that has gets the most out of all of his players, and you have young speed, determination, grit, and leaders like Brian Boyle, Taylor Hall, that really create a fabulous makeup for this team and is telling for, you know, where they will go this year. I've talked to Devils fans. They're not confident. They haven't really changed their expectations going to the season, where they were supposed to be one of the worst teams in hockey. Don't forget about that. But this year they've surprised everyone, and they're most likely going to make the playoffs. The question becomes, how far do they go, and what do they do with the trade deadline? I'm not sure they do anything. They've got a lot of good young depth players where do you want to take one of them out of the lineup when you already have, you know, good D-man, good forwards down in Binghamton, down in the AHL for their AHL affiliate? Do you need to add players? They could go for a star player like Mike Hoffman. That has been the rumor all along. It's been Mike Hoffman to the Devils. But I'm not really sure that they go after that. I'm not sure that that happens. The Devils, a fantastic story. Where do they go this year? I don't know. I hope they go far. I hope I see an Islanders-Devils playoff series. But I know this Saturday, which will be between now and our next show, the Devils and the Islanders play a huge matchup at Prudential Center in Patrick Elias' retirement ceremony night. I have tickets to that game. It's going to be a fun one. They were expensive, but it's definitely worth it to see the Devils and Islanders play. But for those of you attending the game, doors will open, and I've never heard of this before. I've never heard of this. But doors open at 4:30 p.m. for the game, which means you can walk into the arena at 4:30. Usually for a 7 o'clock game, doors open at 6, so just keep that in mind. Doors open at 4:30. The Elias retirement ceremony begins at 6. Then the game starts at 8, so it's a two-hour ceremony, and warm-ups begin at 7:30. So if you get there at 4 and the game ends at 10, it's a six-hour day for you. I'm not sure if I'm going to be doing that. That seems like a pretty crazy night, but good for Patrick Elias. He deserves this night. It's all about him. Hopefully, being an Islanders fan, this distracts the Devils, and hopefully they go out there and have a dud, and the Islanders can take advantage of it. But this is going to be a huge divisional matchup. The Devils are going to be fired up. The Islanders better be fired up. And Yaroslav Halak, who will most likely be starting in net, always finds a way to do well against the Devils. So expect a great matchup. It's much-watched TV. And you've got an 8 o'clock primetime game on Saturday night. Doors open at 4:30. It's going to be a fun one. So keep an eye on that. I definitely recommend, if I had to pick a game of the week right before the deadline, that's the game. Not just for the Islanders, but for the entire NHL. That is a huge matchup, and I'm very excited to watch it live. So that was our talk about the Devils. When we come back, we will have some more talk about the trade deadline. We will go over another highlight, and we will continue to discuss everything going on in the hockey world and also preview an amazing interview we have next week, which I'm very excited for. So please stay tuned.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in a critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Welcome back to Destination Hockey on the 100 in Chamber Radio, the voice of business. This show has been interesting. We've talked about everything around the NHL, which I haven't gotten to do yet too much. I've been doing a lot of interviews and a lot of talk about the Islanders, so I've been very excited to just discuss everything there is going on in the NHL world, and hopefully I've given you guys a good rundown of the NHL trade deadline, which is one of my favorite times in all of hockey. Another important matchup that happened last night was the Flyers and Canadiens, and this result had a very telling sign, just like the Devils and Blue Jackets game for the deadline. And these two teams, which we're playing, are going to be two of the most active dealers at the deadline, most likely. They're going to be two really, really heavy players with trades and extensions and everything. Big stars on each team, and I don't know what's going to happen with them, but I'm going to talk about it right after these highlights. So listen in to the Flyers and Canadiens matchup from last night.
The Flyers trying to stay hot as they host the Canadiens here at the Wells Fargo Center, second of three meetings this season. Mete across, Schlemko holds, fires, it ends up being a pass, turning, and the shot by Byron goes wide. Bukanich digs it loose, in front, reaching behind him is Lyon, no whistle yet, it's still apparently loose, and finally, the whistle stops play.
Coming around the net, Thomas Bukanich tried to center it, you see the stick of Alex Lyon, ramped it up between his legs, and how close was this to being over the line? Pretty darn close.
Travis Konechny is back at the Flyer bench. Canadiens moving up with the puck. Jones turns with it. No, back out to the point shot. Oh, their score! May have changed direction in front, and the Canadiens take a 1-0 lead late in period number one.
I'm not sure Alex Lyon could see this, but it looked like it changed directions. And Jeff Petrie, the defenseman, is going to the bench first to shake the fist bump with everybody.
This speed, you couldn't tell. Here's Plekanec. Return feed in across the Flyer line into the middle. Gallagher shot off post. Crossbar as it beat Lyon, and the Flyers forced it to be within one. Second unit to include this one. Back to Voracek, spins it across Aishiru. In from Patrick, he scores! Tic-tac goal! 1-1 is your score. Patrick the finish.
Zone penetration with possession. And Jake Voracek, brilliant pass across ice. It's as easy as that when your stick is on the ice and Claude Giroux is trying to find it.
If the wheel decides to turn and organize the power play. Back to Voracek. He'll deal it off. There's Provorov. Nothing there. Provorov. Down low, Konechny. Konechny taking a look. Back across. Voracek, the shot off the post.
The Flyers looking dangerous from just about everywhere on their power play.
He's all the way down to Lyon, who will play it around behind the empty net. Gostis Berry finds Filppel in center. Filppel to Giroux. Giroux in across the line. Kicked it out of his skates out in front and unable to finish his Filppel. What a move by Giroux. But Filppel could not finish it off.
Man, that is deception at its nastiest.
He's on the bench. Definitely on the bench. So could have been a chain shuffle. That's
Gallagher
all.
Trying to maneuver around Manny. Got a weak shot off. It comes out in front. Placan. It's back in front. Byron, he scores. Lyon was out of the net. And the Canadiens, with only their second push toward the net in the third period, take a 2-1 lead.
Good play by Brandon Manning, but you see Gallagher stayed with it, got the puck to the front. There was a 2-on-1. Nolan Patrick moved to pick up Byron, didn't get there in time to get his stick.
Starts up. Last is fair to Couturier. Couturier cuts to the middle. Couturier lays it off. Shot for it. Check score! Lyon had just gotten to the bench. The Flyers tied it two.
What a play by Sean Couturier, though. Stick handling through traffic, getting it to Jake, who got a deflection up high in the zone off of Montreal's skate.
Lekkinen up the left wing with a puck. Drops it back off. Here's Galchenyuk.
taking the deep, firing it across. Like Filkula, a great defensive play. And now the Flyers the other way. Dodge to spare to Voracek. Voracek cutting on in. Voracek to the middle of the shot. He scores! If at first you don't succeed, try again. Voracek wins it in overtime. 3-2, your final. Megan, 9 straight with a point for the Flyers. And Voracek, the overtime hero.
So many of the players have rushed out to congratulate Alex Lyon, his second NHL win. What a final few minutes by Jake Voracek.
What a game that was. It was definitely fun to watch, and hopefully it was fun to listen to. But one thing you saw in that game that the Flyers will not be seeing for much in the future was Alex Lyon. He got his second career win. He's a terrific young goalie. I've seen him for the Phantoms play. That's the Flyers affiliate. He's a guy who will go out there. He'll play his heart out, but he's a young goalie. He makes mistakes. And the Flyers will not be seeing much more of him because Peter Mrazek has just been acquired from the Detroit Red Wings. And that trade was one that a lot of other fan bases are questioning that their GM should have done. It's an interesting one because Peter Mrazek could have helped out a lot of teams. The Flyers got a third. They gave up a third-round pick and a fourth-round pick for Peter Mrazek, but those were conditional draft picks. The fourth-round pick can move down to a second-round pick if they go far in the playoffs, and the third-round pick is only if he re-signs. So at the best, the Detroit Red Wings could be receiving a second and a third-round pick, a very nice payday, or they could only be receiving a fourth-round pick. Thus, the question arises, for the New York Islanders at least, should Garth Snow have made this trade? It's a low-cost trade that maybe the Islanders should have considered with Thomas Greiss being out for semi-long term, a few weeks. And I disagree with that. A lot of fans on Twitter have said we should have traded from Peter Mrazek, but I think long term it's not a great move. The $4 million qualifying offer that Mrazek would have had to be offered at the season's end is not very attractive for the Islanders. That goaltending tandem of Greiss and Mrazek making over $7 million would be really just dreadful and putrid, and it's not something I want to see. So overall, I'm happy with that. And the Canadiens, they were the opposing team in that Flyers game. They are a team that is going to be selling like crazy, I think, at least. Shea Weber will most likely be staying, but if you want to hear a bold prediction, Max Pacioretty could possibly be on the move. You could see Alex Galchenyuk, definitely depth players on the move. And the Canadiens, which are supposed to be a powerhouse in the NHL with Carey Price, Shea Weber, Max Pacioretty, you could see some of those players even be traded, and they are going to be really distributing their talent across the NHL and really shaking things up. You rarely see them selling, and this season you're most likely going to see them selling. So thank you so much, guys, for listening to this episode of Destination Hockey. It was just me this week, but I love talking to you guys about hockey. As I said in my first episode, it's my goal to really get a town of hockey, a town of people who don't really like hockey, don't really know about hockey, to listen. As I was doing the show, the head of my station came in and whispered to me the numbers that listened to our last show, and we're in the hundreds, we're in 200, so that's really, really nice to hear that 200 people are caring about hockey in Hunterdon County, and it's really nice to know. So thank you so much, and next week, guys, we have an amazing guest. We have Patrick Dowd, who is, you might not recognize that name, but he's the guy at all Islanders games who holds up the signs, and he's the biggest fan. It was great to get in contact with him, and I'm so excited for him to come on the show. Out of all the great guests we've talked to, he's the one I'm most excited for because he must have so many stories, so many great things to tell us about the Islanders and about the NHL and how it's changed over the last couple of years. So please stay tuned for that next week at 5 p.m. on the Hunterdon Chamber Radio, the voice of business. And thank you guys, as always, for listening to Destination Hockey.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.